What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to a championship, conference championship week of Down to the Wire, Mason. Is your heart okay? Are you okay? Did you have a heart attack or a stroke? Like, I just want to check in on you.
Look, Cam, I don't know how I survived that game, okay? I think I was in shock for the last, like, probably, I would say, 5 minutes of the game. And then once that the play happened, 43 seconds left, Milroe from 31 yards out, whatever it was, dude, my heart dropped. I was shocked. I still haven't recovered. Like, I'm still having, like, a weird irregular heartbeat right now. I'm assuming it's from that. I don't know, dude. This has been such a crazy year. I really can't tell if I'm having fun or not. It's been a blast, but it's also been very taxing on my health. So, I mean, hopefully it gets better, but Georgia this week, that's going to be a dog.
So I want you to hear this. I'm not sure if you saw this on social media or not, but shout out to my wife, Courtney. She sent me this yesterday, and I just have to read it because it's so crazy. In the last 2 years in major college football, there have been 90 plays on third or fourth and goal from 30 or more yards. The success rate was 0 of 90, and Saturday made it 1 of 91.
Let's go. Look, it's nice to finally be on the other side of the stupid voodoo that happens there. Every year I go into that game knowing exactly what's going to happen when it's played at Jordan Hare. All right, like, something stupid is always going to happen, and it's always in favor of Auburn. But for some reason this year, the monkey came off the back, and we actually walked out of there with a dub. But, dude, that – like, I was speechless the whole time. Like, I wasn't jumping up and down excited or anything. Like, my jaw just hit the ground. And, like, I'd sat there for about 10 minutes until I actually processed what happened.
That's great. That's great. Craziness at the Iron Bowl happened. And then the game is what they call it. The game happened. And Michigan beat up on Ohio State. I love it. How did you feel about Michigan winning three in a row? Hey, I will say this. The camera shots of Ryan Day as he was, like, leaving the field and walking to the locker room. I was like, oh, man, I feel really bad for him.
Yeah, he was like, looking beat up.
He was looking full on depressed mode, which I can kind of understand a guy in his position. So I do kind of feel bad for him because he seems like a cool guy. But Michigan three in a row, and this one even without Jim Harbaugh. Love it.
Well, what's funny is I felt like the entire game you could kind of tell that Day was super stressed out because, like, it's a big deal to lose to your rival like that three years in a row. And so he was obviously struggling with it. But the entire game, man, it just looked like Michigan was just beating up on them the entire time. Like, Michigan lost one of their – probably their best offensive linemen. Harbaugh wasn't there. Like, they were – the deck was stacked against Michigan, and they still came out and bullied Ohio State like that. Like, it's a bad look for Ryan Day, but all the nonsense about him getting fired after that game, I just think it's so stupid. Like, every time I see that, it just makes me laugh because they showed his record before the game started, and I want to say it was like 52-7 or something like that, and three of the losses were in the playoffs. The other three now were against Michigan, and then one was against a random Oregon team. So, yeah, he's not quite winning the big games, but he's still getting you to where you want to be. So, like, I mean, I hate the hate that he's getting for sure, but I can understand it at the same time when you can't beat your rival for some reason.
Yeah, it's really rough because that's what Ohio State and Michigan, that's all they lead up to all year is that game at the end of the season with all the hype and all the buildup and all the talk in the offseason, especially the talk of the offseason that Ryan Day and the Buckeyes had last year leading up to the game, only for them to get trounced and then a little bit closer game this year. But still, like, I mean, you just couldn't get it done. Let's see what else happened. Washington survives against Washington State. This was just like survival weekend against rivals this week, man. This was kind of the week that we were waiting on to happen finally with a lot of these teams. And a lot of them ended up pulling it out, but they barely scraped by with that, with Florida State, along with, let's see, who else was there? I mean, Georgia didn't look great against Georgia Tech. It was definitely a struggle all week. I mean, your notables that didn't really struggle at all were Texas didn't struggle. Oregon really didn't struggle against Oregon State. And then that was really kind of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, and Louisville lost to Kentucky.
Yeah. So
it was looking rough for LSU at first, and then they kind of got snapped out of it and started putting it on Texas A&M. I actually wanted to go back to the Iron Bowl real quick because I had a question for you. So you dabbled in coaching for a little bit. Tell me why it makes sense to rush two and have somebody spying the quarterback on 4th and 31 with 45 seconds left, when the other team has to score a touchdown. That's one thing I still haven't been able to quite wrap my head around, and why Hugh Freeze pulled that out of the bag. So I wanted to kind of get your opinion on that one.
Yeah. This is like the thing that drives me crazy about defensive coaches most of the time, at any 2 minute kind of situation in general, is they play super passive. When you playing a great defensive game, and then you just get super passive and trying not to lose it, then you end up losing. Like, they had been getting pressure on Milrow most of the night, and they even did it before that play. And they're like, you know what? Let's change it. Let's just like not worry about it. We can cover them. Like, and honestly, like at the end of the day, 90 times out of 91, like, you don't convert, you know, like what I just read. So like, it's kind of hard to screw it up, but if there's any kind of finger or blame, like, rush more than two. Like, yeah. If he runs, let him. Yeah. You have all these guys down at the goal line that should have eyes on him. And if he starts running, you come up and you make the tackle. Because he doesn't have anybody but linemen behind him to flip the ball to. So, I don't know, man. Like, I think that was just a big mistake, obviously. It cost him because they didn't get any pressure and allowed him to just kind of hang out for 20 seconds, it felt like, and somehow miraculously throw it to Isaiah Bond, and the Auburn defensive player didn't even look and see where the ball was, and so he couldn't even do anything. Like, it was just, like, all-around bad defense on the play you needed it most. Which is heartbreaking if you're an Auburn fan. I know you don't care because you love it.
I'm thankful for it.
No, I bet you are. I bet you're very thankful.
But yeah, it's just like, to me, they overthought it. Because like, even if you're just rushing three at that point, like, all right, I understand that a little bit because you want to have more guys back in the end zone covering. You're basically doubling up everybody at that point. But why spy? That was the one that I thought was so stupid, because it's not like he's going to convert a 4th and 31 and get the touchdown on that one. Even if he does, like, he might get like 20 yards probably, but he's not scoring a touchdown on that. There's just too many guys in the end zone that are going to get to him. But you let him sit back there for 10 seconds, somebody at some point is probably going to get open. So I don't know.
So real quick, Mason, before we kind of move on to some other reaction that happened over the weekend, NBA talk, what the heck is going on with this in this midseason tournament bullcrap? Like, what is this?
So before the season started, I wasn't super into the in-season tournament. It's something new to the NBA. So I was interested to see how it's going to happen, but I didn't understand it at all. If we're being honest with each other, I still don't completely understand it, but I am completely invested. My Celtics, all right, tonight was a big night for them. So the NBA has this whole point differential thing that you have to have for tiebreakers and blah, blah, blah. So the Celtics had to win tonight by 23 points and had to have the Brooklyn Nets win their game to be able to get into the in-season tournament. And guess what happened, baby? Celtics won by 30, and the Brooklyn Nets won. So they're into the in-season tournament. They're going to fight for their lives and this whole thing. But I'll say this. The NBA has done a good job of marketing it, so it makes it more entertaining. They changed up the whole court. So they gave them new uniforms for it. So it's definitely a good way to keep people interested in the NBA for right now, because this is kind of a
dead period. Season doesn't actually start until after Christmas.
See, there's casuals like you that think that, so it helps bring people in, because quite frankly, this is a dead period for the NBA if we're being real with each other. Right up until Christmas is when people start buying back in, but you have championship week and everything like that going on, so NBA kind of takes a backseat a little bit. I will not deny. But
whatever.
It's fun. It's fun. Whatever. I'm enjoying it.
You know, I really thought that. So I have been meaning to bring this up to Mason on the podcast for like the past 3 weeks, guys. And I just constantly forgot, because I asked him like a few weeks ago. I was like, hey, like, what's the deal with this like in-season tournament thing? And then he hated it. He's like, oh, this is so stupid. Just ask me on Tuesday and I'll let you know. And I kept forgetting. And so now I finally remember, and he freaking apparently loves it. So I'm sorry that we didn't get a rant like I was really hoping we would get. You really disappointed me and the fans, Mason. But you know what? It is what it is, I guess.
Look, I just love my basketball, all right? So...
whatever.
Kind of got to go with it.
Whatever. Let's go ahead. Coaching hires happened this weekend, Mason. Okay. We kind of talked a little bit about the hires whenever some of the firings happened. Obviously, the big one, the biggest job was A&M. We had the whole fiasco on Saturday night with Mark Stoops apparently being the guy. And then the fan base went absolutely bonkers and hated it so much that apparently it wasn't happening anymore. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was fans. I don't know if it was administration that changed their mind. I don't know if it was boosters that were like refusing to pay any more money if they hired this guy. Maybe it was a combination of all of them. I don't know. But Mark Stoops didn't end up getting the job and ends up then putting out a statement because he didn't get the job on Twitter or X, which is really awkward if you're Kentucky. It's like, oh, you were actually leaving and now you're putting out a message saying that you're staying with us. Okay, we all know what's going on here. That's real awkward. And then it comes out the next day that they hire Mike Elko at A&M, previously at Duke, who's at Duke this past year and the year before. What are your thoughts on that whole fiasco that happened Saturday and Sunday?
It was such a roller coaster, dude. It reminded me of what Tennessee did when they were trying to hire, what's his name, Graziano, whatever.
Graziano, yeah.
Oh, dude, and then the fans went crazy, and then they backed out of it, of course, and then hired Jeremy Pruitt, which didn't go very well, so.
But that whole thing was even longer at Tennessee, because they did that, they went and were about to hire another person, and then they end up firing their AD and hiring Fat Phil, and then, you know, eventually they hired Jeremy Pruitt. Like, it was, like, insane. So, I don't think anything will ever match that, but yes, it did bring me back to that for sure.
My question is, why are you hating on Mark Stoops? I kind of feel like that would have been a better hire. Like, I think he has proven to be a really good coach at Kentucky. It's really hard to coach at Kentucky because you're not one of the powers of the SEC, and he's putting them in a place where they are consistently towards the top of the East. So, like, what's
Mason,
the problem?
Did you know that he has a losing SEC record?
No.
He's like 33-35 in the SEC at Kentucky.
Okay, well, so what was Duke's record?
He's in the SEC East. In the 10 years or however long he's been there, the SEC East has been complete dog water. And he still doesn't have over 500 wins.
Do you know how hard it is to actually do that at Kentucky? Because you're fighting against the big dogs, and you are a probably 25-pound lab, if you want to say.
Listen, you can't tell me that he can't consistently go, and the SEC consistently go, 6-4, 7-3 every year? Because their cross division rival is Mississippi State. So they play Mississippi State every single year. And then you're facing South Carolina, who's been bad the past 10 years. Tennessee, who has only been good like the past year and a half. Florida has been awful, but okay, maybe that's a loss. Georgia, that's a loss. Vanderbilt. Missouri, who's only been good like the past a year and a half, too.
A year.
Like, that's six. I mean, come on, man. Like, I get that it's Kentucky and he had to kind of build it up. But at the same time, like, I think he's a really good coach. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. But if you're A&M and you're firing Jimbo Fisher and you're paying the amount of money you're getting rid of Fisher, I just don't think you go Mark Stoops. And personally, I'm not the biggest fan of Elko either.
Yeah.
It just feels like you got to Elko because you got to Stoops because other guys turned you down. And then because Stoops was not the hire that people wanted, you were basically forced to back away from that hire and then go with Elko. And the only reason you went with Elko is because he coached there as the DC. He could be a great coach, but there are rumors of them like going after Ryan Day, which was never going to happen. But so I mean,
and like I saw something that Dabo was possibly interested in. That's never going to happen. So here's my thing. I think that Stoops and Elko, either one of them, would have been a really good hire for Texas A&M. Like I do think that them hiring Elko is a solid hire. My thing is it's like, who did you think you were getting? Like, if we're being real with each other, like, there's no way Ryan Day was coming. There's no way you're getting this huge coach to come over and coach at Texas A&M because that just doesn't happen. You don't have these coaches who are super secure in their job, who are championship-level coaches that just pop over to another one of the power schools. Like, that very rarely happens. Like, you had Brian Kelly did it, but was he winning championships at Notre Dame? Not really, but he's proved that he can – possibly do it at LSU. And then you can say what you want about Lincoln Riley. Like, he wasn't really a championship coach either. And he's not really doing a whole lot at SC right now. But like, other than that, what is it? Like, who's the splash hire that you're going to get to bring in? Like, that's,
you know who it should have been? You know who it should have been? And I get hate on this. And I'm sure you're probably not going to like it either, but it should have been Lane Kiffin. He's been at Ole Miss 4 years. Two of those years, he has 10 wins. The first year was 2020 and it was after taking over for Matt Luke or whatever, who is awful and destroyed that program. He went like 5-5, then he went 10-2, and then he went, I think it was like 8-4 last year, 8-5 or whatever the bowl game was. And then he wins 10 games again this year at Ole Miss, guys. This is Ole Miss we're talking about. Ole Miss has a high school football stadium. Okay. And like, they have no real winning tradition, and he's winning 8-10 games there every other year. He was the guy, in my opinion, that would have been the home run hire. Now, like, you can say what you want for the administration. Like, it was said the administration didn't like his antics and all this other stuff. Like, dude, you need to care about results if you're A&M, and he would have brought you results, I think. I think it's a much better hire than Elko, personally. I think Ole Miss is still completely lucky to still have him at this point. And good thing for Bama, he's still waiting on that opening whenever Nick Saban retires.
Yeah, so is Dan Lanning.
No. I mean, so, like, there's that. Why not wait another week, see if Oregon beats Washington? And then you go get the Oregon or the Wisconsin or Washington head coach.
Yeah, I did think it was kind of
good. Or go knocking and ask about, I know he just got there and he just finished his first year, but why not Luke Fickell?
I don't think he would leave.
I mean, I don't know if he would either, but he's better than Mike Elko. He's better than Mark Stoops. Yeah. At least we think he is. I mean, he went to the college football playoff with Cincinnati.
Yeah, true.
James Franklin? You think he would leave Penn State? Neither one of us are big James Franklin guys, and we've kind of talked about it when they lost to Michigan last time this year. But, I mean, when it comes to skins on the wall, he has them. He has more of them than Mark Stoops because he coached in the SEC at Vanderbilt and actually had Vandy where Kentucky is right now, which is more of a feat than what Mark Stoops has done at Kentucky, okay? And he has more skins on the wall than Mike Elko. Now, whether it would actually work out, who really knows? I mean, those are the guys that I kind of come to mind now. Whether any of them were talked to or any of them were actual possibilities, that's another question. But if you're A&M and you feel like you're one of the best jobs and you're just a sleeping giant waiting for the right guy to come, I mean, I think you personally, like, everybody is like in such a hurry and for good reason of trying to get their head coach like hired, but just wait until conference championship week is done. Because there are guys at some of these schools that might be available if you just wait.
Yeah, I thought it was weird, man. Like, you moved a little too quick, if we're being honest. Especially because, like you were saying, like, you have Mark Stoops hired at one point and then turn around and then the very next day is Elko. So, that's how Texas
A&M does it. They definitely panicked because of the fan reaction, for sure.
100%.
Go ahead and give me your thoughts on what I think so far is the best hire that anybody's made. Jeff Lebby going to Mississippi State, man. Well, give me your thoughts on that one.
I'm glad that's where you're going. I love this hire for them. I was wanting them to go more offensive minded because of the success that they had under Dan Mullen and under Leach. And look, that's exactly what they did. I think Lebby is a really good hire for them because he's not super out of the box and he is pretty much up and coming as an offensive coordinator. It'll be his first gig as a head coach, I'm pretty sure. But look, he had a great year last year at Ole Miss. He had a great year this year with Oklahoma. He's a really good offensive mind, and I think he's going to be able to put them in a situation to where they're going to kind of be back to where they were under Dan Mullen. I don't necessarily expect Mississippi State to ever be like a super powerhouse in college football, but like having them where Dan Mullen had them, I think is a perfect spot for Mississippi State. And like, look, win the Egg Bowl 2 out of 3 years, whatever you want to say, like the Mississippi State fans will be happy. But I do think this is a really good hire. I agree with you that this one has been my favorite so far.
Yeah. And yeah, like you said, I mean, super big offensive mind. He's coached in Mississippi. He was at Ole Miss previously. Kind of think it's a little weird angle. Hey, I was the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss, and now I'm going to be the head coach in Mississippi State a year or two later. But yeah, I mean, great offensive mind. And like you said, I mean, that's really what they needed to do. Their skill sets probably with players they already have that might come back probably fit that way better. Will Rogers win in the portal? Maybe he comes back now that Jeff Lebby is the official guy. Who knows? But yeah, I think it's a great hire. If that one's not the best one, then it might be this one, Mason. Jonathan Smith going to Michigan State.
Wow.
For those of you who aren't aware or don't know who that is, he was the Oregon State coach, and now he's going to Michigan State. I think that's a really good hire for them, too.
Yeah. I really like the hire, but I do hate it at the same time. Like, I hate that he had to make that move because, like, I think that was basically just a product of conference realignment because Oregon State currently has no conference. So, like, if you're a head coach, he just had a great year. Like, you got to find a place where you can be comfortable at and know that not much is really going to turn around and change on you. And that's what he's getting with Michigan State. Like, they're not going anywhere in the Big Ten. And, like, it sucks for players like DJ Uiagalelei because, like, he just transferred there probably mostly because of the head coach. And, like, he lost his transfer. So now he's kind of either NFL or stuck at Oregon State. So, like, I hate that aspect of it. But I do think that's a great hire for Michigan State because he's been having a couple of really good seasons with Oregon State.
Yeah, I mean, he can build a program, and Oregon State is one of the hardest programs to build and recruit at, for sure. And so if he can do it at Oregon State, who's to say he can't do it with the resources at Michigan State? Yeah, I really like that hire. So with that, another hire that not sure if you saw, Mason, it happened today. Bobby Petrino? As the offensive coordinator back to Arkansas?
Full circle.
What freaking world do we live in, man? And you know what's going to happen is that Sam Pym is going to get fired midway through the year next year, and he's going to become the interim head coach of Arkansas next year, mid-year. What in the freaking world, man? Damn.
I'm telling you, I will never forget the image of him sitting in a press conference with a neck brace on. That is seared in my brain forever. And the fact that he has full circle come back as their offensive coordinator, it's just great, man. Like, I love college football so much. Just because of the dumb stuff like that that happens. It's just great.
It's just going to make it better if he does indeed become the interim head coach next year. Oh, man. There's no way they would let that happen, right?
Like, I mean, they let him go back as offensive coordinator. I don't know what would happen. I would have told you there was no chance this would happen.
Oh, my gosh. So, with that, there have been some firings that have happened. Houston fires Dana Holgorsen. He was there for a while. Before that, he was longtime coach at West Virginia. I always felt weird about his jump from West Virginia to Houston. And then it just started falling apart for him. He probably just lost his touch at Houston and he's gone. So they're looking for a head coach. And then Syracuse fires Dino Babers. He's been there for a long time. And they get rid of him. So those jobs are open back up, and along with the hires that have happened. So Duke is open. Indiana is open as well. Yeah, they fired their coach. They are paying like a $20 million buyout at Indiana for this guy. Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess because you're getting this TV money that's coming in starting next year, like, you can handle that. But I mean, you're also Indiana. So, I mean, maybe this is just like a push from the Big Ten. It's like, hey, we have this big contract with these TV networks. You tiny schools need to step up your game. Maybe it's that. Like, that's the only thing I can think of, because you're Indiana.
The reason Indiana hit me is just because I saw something the other day saying that Tommy Rees is a potential candidate for their job. Oof. Don't do it, Tommy. Come on. You don't have to do that.
The cycle continues of OCs at Bama. Will it continue to happen? Man. Look,
I do think that would be a pretty bad move for him, if we're being honest with each other, because like, it's always felt like the OC and DC job at Alabama kind of lead to bigger opportunities. Like, you have, I mean, Kirby got the Georgia job. You had Lane. I mean, he went to FAU, but he eventually got to Ole Miss. I mean, Sark, he went to Texas. Daboll was at the Bills. Like, it just feels like that position, if you succeed in it, leads to bigger opportunities in somewhere like Indiana. And let's be real, if you're coming back again next year, you're going to have Milroe again, and you have already put in the work in figuring out what type of offense works around him. And honestly, like, I think Rees has done a great job at figuring out how to get guys open in his offense with Milroe and everything like that. And so, like, I feel like if he waits it out a year, another year, has another good year with Milroe again next year, then that's going to open up a pretty big opportunity for him the following year. So I would be a little shocked if he does take the Indiana job.
Yeah, we'll see. I obviously haven't looked into who potential candidates are for Indiana. So that's good. That's good to know. But so that one's open. Duke is now open. Who knows going to take that one? And obviously Oregon State are now open with some of these hiring and firings. We'll see what's next for those two kind of lower sellers. I mean, when you think about Oregon State, it's kind of like what you said. They're not in a conference, really. They're looking at maybe doing kind of like a merger type thing with the Mountain West. And I would almost guarantee that they wouldn't even be guaranteed a playoff spot in the playoff moving forward. So, that's just a really tough position if you're Oregon State now, because now where do you go? I guess you need to consider yourself group of five now, or group of six, or whatever you're going to call it.
Just now thinking about it, that because the group of five, they do have a automatic bid into the 12 team. So I don't know. You go out there and you bully up on the Mountain West, you might have a guaranteed spot in the playoffs.
You need a coach first. This is the first good coach you've had in a long time. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen there? All right. So let's go ahead and move on, Mason. Let's go to the college football playoff rankings. Came out tonight. I'm not going to go over the full rankings because nobody cares about who is ranked 25 through 10. I mean, let's just be honest here. Okay. Everybody cares about really the top four. For this season, it's really about the top eight. And so let's go ahead and just go through those real quick. Georgia at one, Michigan at two, Washington at three, Florida State at four, Oregon at five, Ohio State dropped down to six, Texas at seven, and Bama at eight. Those are your college football rankings. The ones that actually matter really at this point. So go ahead and give me some thoughts on those rankings, Mason.
I still really can't figure out why the committee is obsessed with Ohio State. They had them at one in like their first two polls or something like that. And now they still have them ahead of Texas and Alabama, who both have better wins than Ohio State right now. I can't figure out my problem right now with the whole committee thing is they just need to completely rebrand, if we're being honest, because they continue to shove the whole, we're putting the best four teams in the playoffs no matter what. They continue to keep shoving that down our throats, when in reality, it is the four, the four most deserving, right? Like, they're going to put the teams that are conference champs and blah, blah, blah into the playoffs, not the four best teams. And for some reason, they continue putting Ohio State in, or putting Ohio State ahead of Texas and Alabama. I just don't understand it. I can kind of get it with Oregon because Oregon's been playing so well, but Ohio State hasn't played a good game all year. Like, they were good enough to beat Notre Dame. They were good enough to beat Penn State, but they weren't world beaters in either one of those games. So I don't know what their infatuation with Ohio State is, but I would like answers.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't – it's both of the teams ranked ahead of Texas and Alabama that the committee has just loved. It's Oregon and it's Ohio State, and I don't get it just like you don't. Ohio State really struggled throughout the season, even against not even great competition. I mean, they played okay. Oregon hasn't really played a team all year, and the one team they played, they lost. And so we're just going to go off of them blowing the doors up off and running the score up against not great competition. Now, I get, you know, Washington has struggled since the game, but it doesn't matter. They're undefeated. They went head to head. So you obviously can't rank them ahead of that. But like, you want to put up Oregon's resume against Texas and Alabama, and even in a sense of Ohio State, they're going to be back of the pack. They haven't played a hard schedule. I don't understand, because it's constantly talked about resume, which I'm fine with, but you're only picking out resumes when it works for where you want to place teams, and they're not consistent in how they rank these teams. Personally, why is Michigan not ranked number one? They have the best win out of anybody at this point. Better wins than Georgia. Which is Georgia's best win? Missouri, which is nice, top 10 win. Next is Ole Miss. After that, what you got?
I mean Tennessee, like, Tennessee is still or Ole Miss. Ranked.
Tennessee being ranked is a joke.
That is a joke. But I mean, yeah, if you look at it like, so if you want to say Michigan's two best wins are going to be against Ohio State, which is at six, and then Penn State, which is at 10. So you compare that to Georgia, who has the Missouri win at nine and the Ole Miss win at 11. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can see it going either way with one of those. Like, I wouldn't be mad if Michigan was at one or if Georgia was at one. Like,
yeah, I mean,
think they're the two best teams.
Like, yeah, I mean, they're probably the two best teams for sure. Yeah, I think they're the two best teams too at this point. But I mean, they're just putting teams where they want to place it. I don't understand the Oregon love. I really don't get it. And with how they have things placed, what does that mean for Texas? What's the path for Texas to get in at this point?
Texas doesn't have a path, if we're being honest with each other. Like, they need help right now to get in.
I mean, but what kind of help do they need? The only thing that I can think of that they need to happen is they need Florida State to lose. The Pac-12 championship doesn't matter. They need Florida State to lose. But if Florida State loses, who's to say they're not just going to put Ohio State in because they have them ranked ahead of them now?
Great.
Like, how big of a difference is the Big 12 championship game going to make for Texas? Is it going to let them, looking at the statistics so far in the college football playoff, anybody ranked lower than six has never made the college football playoff. And part of that is probably because chalk is held and there hasn't been enough upsets for that to warrant it. But, and Bama's going to be kind of in the same conversation too here. If they beat Ohio or if they beat Georgia, they need help too, even by beating Georgia. So with how far back you have Texas and Bama, you're going to tell me that, I mean, obviously beating Georgia is going to be the best win out of anybody that anybody's going to have probably, but you're telling me that they're going to jump four spots to number four?
Well, that's why I was so shocked that they put Ohio State at six, because like, if we're being honest with each other at this point, Ohio State has no shot at getting into the playoffs. Like they're going to need insane amount of help to even have a conversation on getting in. So why not just bump up Texas and Alabama one spot, just because they are playing this weekend? And if they do win, they have a legit shot at getting in. Ohio State has nothing right now. Like they're not, their resume isn't getting any better at this point. So like, to me, that's what it was so crazy. But there's like, there's a couple of nightmare scenarios right now for the committee. If everything goes right or wrong this weekend, because like, if you just sit there and say that all the quote unquote top teams are going to win, say Georgia, Michigan, Washington, Florida State all win, that's four undefeated champs right there that are all going to get put in. And then you still have Texas, and let's say they win the Big 12, a one loss Big 12 champ who beat Alabama this year gets left out of the playoffs. Like, there's a couple scenarios right now that are going to get real sketchy for the committee, but
yeah. And there's been like a lot of conversation about Florida State, in any kind of circles that you're around when it comes to, talking college football playoff and all this nonsense, on ESPN or on whatever other podcast you listen to on, they don't have Jordan Travis. So that, do they get in even though they're undefeated and all this nonsense? Guys, if you're undefeated, Florida State, you win this weekend, you're in the playoffs. We talked about this last week. You're in. You have nothing to worry about. There is no logical reason to leave Florida State out of the playoff if they go and beat Louisville this weekend. There's no reason. And kind of like what you were talking about to begin the conversation on the playoff of, you know, they need to rebrand and go from, hey, instead of the four best teams, it's the four most deserving teams. Because if we want the four quote unquote best teams or the teams that are going to be favored in Vegas, let's just do power rankings, go off of those and not even have a committee. Like just go down to Vegas, pick whatever sports book you want to use and just use their power ratings. And if you want to use that, doesn't matter what Ohio State does, doesn't matter what Georgia does, doesn't matter what Bama does, because they're always like top three, so they're just always going to get in if we're talking about four best teams. And it's going to be the same kind of conversation if there ever was a conversation on who gets in between Texas and Bama. Well, you know what? If it's quote-unquote most deserving or who's the best, well, maybe you put in Bama because they look better, but and who cares about on-the-field results? But that's not the system we have in place. It's not the system we should want in place. And so there's no logical reason. Florida State is in if you win this weekend. End of discussion. Anybody who says otherwise is just doing it for clicks. They're just doing it for the sound bites. They're just doing it for attention because they know that everybody's going to get riled up. That's the reason why Kirk even brings it up on ESPN during these things of like, well, you know, Florida State, they could be out. You know, it's about the four best teams. It's like, no, it's not, bro. It's not. And yeah, never was and never should be.
It's just silly that it's even a conversation. Like, there is 0% chance that they're going to leave out a undefeated conference champ, especially with a win against LSU, too. Like, let's be real. Like, it's not happening. But, like, to echo what you said, like, it's just completely, like, it's on the committee for continuing to shove down our throats that it's the four best teams. Like, if we're being real right now with each other, like, I would probably have Florida State at eight. Like, if you take everything out, you take record out, just teams on the field right now, how teams are playing, like, I honestly probably have them at eight. But they're the most deserving team right now because you're undefeated and you're probably going to go win your conference. So you should definitely be in. So I completely agree with you that, like, right now it's just kind of silly to even have a discussion about it potentially happening because – if we're being real, like there's no chance, like they're not leaving Florida State out if you go out and win. And I don't think they should. Like, I honestly think it should be the four most deserving teams. But like the committee just has to come out and actually start saying that instead of saying, hey, four best teams, that's who's in. So to me, it's just on the committee. And then also like everybody else needs to stop being stupid. Like it's not even a discussion at this point.
So with all that said, Mason, we have probably our last blind resume of the football season. I did this kind of last minute as we were getting ready here. So I thought, and this is a little bit of a future looking blind resume, Mason. This okay. is assuming
all right.
that next week has happened and the teams that are on here have won whatever okay. they've won if they play. So we okay. have three teams. It is not the mega monster that we had last week of eight. We have three. You have to pick one of who gets in the playoff.
Okay.
Okay. Got it. All right. Okay. So super easy. Maybe. So we have team A, team B, and team C like we typically have. We'll start with team A. Strength of schedule, 41st in the country. Their total offense is 37th. Their red zone offense is 54th, converting in the red zone 86% of the time. Their third down conversion offense is 18th, so they can convert 46% of the time on third down. And their scoring offense is 32nd in the nation, scoring 32.8 points a game. They have one of the best defenses in the country, ranked third. Their red zone offense or defense is 17th, giving up scores 76% of the time. Their third down defense is 8th in the country, giving up third down conversions 28% of the time. Their scoring defense is 2nd in the country, giving up 11 points a game. Turnover margin, though, isn't great. It's 73rd. They are -2 in turnover margin. And at the end of the year, their record against top 25 opponents, 2-1, Mason. Record versus top 15, 1-1. Not great.
No.
Team B. Team B. Their strength of schedule is the toughest schedule in the country, ranked first. Their total offense is 14th in the country, so they get a lot of yards. Their red zone conversion hasn't been great. It's 104th, converting points in the red zone 78% of the time. Their third down offense isn't great either. They're 93rd in the country, converting 36% of the time. But it seems to not really matter for them. They're top 25 in scoring, 21st in the country, scoring 34.9 points a game. So just a hair off of 35 points a game. Their defense is pretty good. Total defense is at 27th. They're first in the nation in red zone defense, only giving up 0.68% of the time. They're the best in the country on third down, only giving up conversions 26% of the time. And they're only giving up 17.2 points per game, and that's good for 12th in the country. They're also pretty good in the turnover margin at 24, so they're +6 in the turnover margin. Their record against top 25 opponents is 3-1, and they're 1-1 against top 15 opponents, and they would be a conference champion. And then Team C, strength of schedule, 59th. Not great. It's the worst in the three teams here. They do have a great offense, 2nd in total offense. They're 42nd in red zone offense at 87%. Third down conversions, 3rd in the country at 52% conversion rate. And they're 2nd in the nation in scoring, scoring 45.2 points per game. Total defense, 15th in the country, though their red zone defense isn't that great. It's 61st, and they give up points in the red zone 82% of the time. Third down defense, though, is pretty good. 22nd in the nation, giving up conversions 32% of the time. And they have a pretty good scoring defense, giving up 15.9 points a game, which is 7th in the country. And their 12th in turnover margin. They're +9 in their turnover margin. Their record against top 25 opponents, though, 1-1 and 1-1 against top 15. But they are also a conference champ, Mason. So give me your thoughts on the resumes.
Oof. That's really all I have. I really like both team B and team C coming down to it because they are both conference champs. Team A obviously has a very good defense. They're third in total defense, which is very impressive. But same time, strength of schedule is a little bit weaker. So I think I would have to cross off Team A pretty quickly, because I do value conference champs a lot higher than the non-conference champs, whatever you want to call them. But breaking it down with Team B and Team C, if you look at it just from a broad perspective, you would say eye test is probably going to favor Team C. They are second in total offense compared to 14th in total offense with Team B. And then Team C also is 15th in total defense compared to 27th in total defense to Team B. So you have those two numbers. I will say when it comes to Team B, their strength of schedule being first is very impressive because they are also 3-1 against the top 25. Whereas if you look at Team C, they're only 1-1 against top 25 with a 59th strength of schedule. So I think for me, I would have to favor Team B a little bit more than Team C, but it is very close.
Yeah, I mean, the strength of schedule is big, and part of the strength of schedule does have an effect on how good the numbers are as well. I mean, you're having the toughest schedule in the country. Numbers might not look great. You have 60 in strength of schedule. That'll really help you, especially, you know, padding stats. So you would favor Team B over Team C. So I'm assuming you would go Team B would be number four, basically, in our rankings. Number five would be Team C, and then number six would be Team A.
Yes.
Who do you have in the playoff, Mason? Who's Team B?
Oh, God. I have no clue right now.
Well, good deal.
I think I'm going to go with Team B actually being, gosh, like I want to say Alabama just because of the record versus top 25. I really wanted to say Texas at first, but I know their strength of schedule probably isn't that high. And also, I don't think you could find three top 25 teams that they have, or four top 25 teams that they've played. So I'll just roll with it being Bama.
You're wrong. It's Texas. Texas.
Oh, it was Texas.
Team B.
Dang
they have the hardest strength of schedule in the country. And I'll just go ahead and run through the other two. Team C is Oregon. I think that was kind of obvious based on their total offense.
Total offense, yeah.
Strength of schedule. And Team A is probably obvious too. That's Ohio State.
Yeah.
So in our scenarios, if for whatever reason, it even comes down to if Oregon beats Washington, even the discussion between Washington or between Oregon and Texas should be, at least in our eyes, looking at this, should be Texas over Oregon.
Yeah.
Now, will it happen that way? Probably not. I mean, the committee just loves Oregon. But based on the resumes, I'm with you. I think Team B, I think Texas should be in over Oregon no matter what at this point.
That's good, though, because outside of the blind resume, I actually do completely agree with that. Like, I would put Texas above Oregon right now. But I do think with the Washington win for Oregon, it does make it a lot more difficult. But that's kind of it. You get to a really shaky point with that because you did already lose to Washington earlier in the season. So it's like it's a rematch. You should be able to perform better in a rematch, but yada, yada, yada. But I would go Texas in that scenario right now.
Yeah, and the three wins against top 25 for Texas is going to be Oklahoma. It would end up being Oklahoma State because I don't think Oklahoma State would fall completely out, even if they lose. And then it would also be Kansas State as they are barely in the top 25.
I miss Kansas State.
So that would be the third. And Oregon, obviously their only win would be against Washington, and their loss would be against Washington. So,
well, even with Texas, you can say – let's say Oregon State does fall out. You still have the Bama win, too.
That's right. Maybe four, actually. So they actually have four top 25 wins. So that's a mess up by me. So even the resume is even better. The resume is even better for Texas because they would have four.
I would go with Texas. I think, wow, look at us agreeing with the blind resume.
They would have four wins against the top 25 and two wins against the top 15.
Yeah. I just like when you look at it like this, how the heck does Oregon keep getting this praise? Like to me, they're clearly just like watching the eye test against the very weak teams that they're playing against right now. Stupid committee.
Yeah, I don't get it either. You know, one thing that I actually am interested to know, Mason, and I probably should have looked this up before, is what are the BCS rankings right now, if the BCS were a thing? That I know somebody actually runs it still and actually comes up with those. So let me go ahead and pull those up real quick just to see if there is any difference between the BCS rankings and what the playoff rankings would be. Let's see. There is a only one small difference, Mason. So they have Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Washington 3, Florida State 4. And the simulated BCS, Mason, has Ohio State at 5.
Gosh, dude. Oregon I'm so glad we're 6. Doing computers.
Oregon at 6, Texas at 7, and Bama still at 8.
Gosh, I am so glad we're done with computers.
That is kind of surprising, personally. But
well, look, they had their whole computer-generated thing that shows you the percentage chance of who's going to make the playoffs, and they still have Ohio State with a 9% chance to make it.
They shouldn't have. Here's the thing. If I'm a Texas fan, I am pissed off right now.
Yeah, you should be furious.
Because, again, kind of like what we talked about. Dude, like, I mean, with how it's shaped up, they basically have it shaped up to where winner of the Pac-12 championship makes it in. Whether it should be that way is another discussion that we really just had. So if Oregon wins, we still think Texas should be in ahead of them based on blind resume. And even after looking at the blind resume and knowing who the teams are, we think both of us think Texas should be ahead of them. But for whatever reason, the committee loves Oregon, and they're especially going to love Oregon if they beat Washington. So they're basically a lock as long as they win this weekend. And then if Florida State loses, if they lose to Louisville, you better be sweating if you're Texas. Because so far, the committee thinks Ohio State's better than you, and you better hope to God that your Big 12 championship means something.
There's no way. There's no way.
I mean, I don't think there's a way either, but I also don't think there's a way that Oregon's ranked ahead of Bama and Texas and that Ohio State is ranked ahead of Bama and Texas.
Well, let me ask you this. So let's say Bama does beat Georgia and then Oregon beats Washington. Who do you think should get in over those two? Because assuming, just assume everything else goes chalk. Like, let's say Michigan, Florida State both win, Texas wins. And then, so those three to me are locks. So then it comes down to Oregon and Bama.
With how the committee's treating it, Oregon's in. And so the conversation is going to be more, is it Texas or Bama?
Well, so like I refuse to actually believe that the committee is going to sit there and look at a Washington rematch win for Oregon as a better win than what Alabama would have to do to beat Georgia. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would vault them ahead of Oregon because I don't think there's any chance right now that the committee is going to willingly leave out both Georgia and Bama out of the playoffs, even if like it's going to have to come to me. It's going to have to come down to like an absolute nightmare scenario. Like what it's going to have to be Michigan wins, Florida State wins, Washington wins, and then Texas wins. Like to me, that's the only way that the SEC doesn't get a team in because I don't think they'll put Bama in over Texas. But like to me, if Oregon wins and Bama wins, I think Bama will get in over Oregon, even with how they've been ranking it so far. Like I think they're going to value that Georgia win a lot more than anything else.
And they might, but with how I believe they handle these rankings, it's not going to come down to a Oregon or Alabama discussion.
Yeah.
Because they think it's Oregon is the best one loss team right now. They're going to get a top three win against Washington. And they're going to be in, and the discussion is going to come down to Texas and Bama. And either way, whichever team gets in, there is going to be no one should be happy, because if Texas gets in, then Bama fans are going to complain because they beat Georgia. They had the best win is what the claim is going to be.
Yeah,
if Texas doesn't get in, they shouldn't complain, because if Texas doesn't get in, they're basically saying that head to heads don't matter.
Yeah.
So like that is the nightmare scenario for the committee, is if Oregon wins, Bama wins, and Texas wins.
Yeah.
God, because just, then they're going to have to explain how you have Oregon ahead of both of them at this point.
Yeah.
Because it should, like, they should not be ahead of both of Bama and Texas if that's the case. But they're going to. They've given us every reason to believe that they're going to. They haven't changed their mind. That's what they're going to stick with. And whether that's right or wrong, we'll find out this weekend. Maybe everything will go chalk and they have the easiest job in the world, where it's Georgia, Michigan, Washington, and Florida State. Maybe they get lucky and we continue with no craziness. But I have a feeling there's going to be some craziness, and Sunday could be really fun.
I need some chaos.
We have been waiting all year for chaos, and maybe we'll finally get it, Mason. I don't know. We'll find out. So let's go ahead and move on. And we're getting a return, Mason. The return of fantasy for conference championship week. You've gotten your time off and maybe gotten your head straight or you know, just ready for another butt whooping. I don't know what it is, but we'll find out. And we're actually going to go ahead and do our draft live. We didn't do this pre-show, so we're going to go ahead and do it. Since I obviously won during the season, I get to pick first. So my first pick, Mason, I'm actually going to go running back, going Jawar Jordan from Louisville.
Cameron, I am shocked that you absolutely gifted me Brock Bowers with the second pick.
You can have him.
I appreciate you, okay? Yes, I know he didn't play last week, but he's playing for the conference championship. He's definitely playing this week. Give me Brock.
Listen, I have one of the best running backs in the country, Mason, so I think I'm okay with it.
Okay. I like how this is shaping
so
up.
So now it's now back to me. Do I go quarterback? Do I go wide receiver? There are so many options here for me, Mason. You think I'm going to go with... I really got to think about this now. Who do I want to go with? Deciding between a quarterback and a receiver. Who do I want to pick, Mason? I don't know. Let's go with Rome Odunze, wide receiver from Washington. Damn.
Cam, I'm going to be really honest with you. You were scaring me there for a minute. So I'm just going to go ahead and take my quarterback. Give me my guy, Milrow. I'm taking him because you just gave me a heart attack and I felt like you were about to take him from me. So I'm taking him off the board.
Well, we're just going to have a quarterback battle in this thing, because I'm going to go with Carson Beck.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. So I need a running back, a wide receiver, and a flex. So I'm going to go ahead and take You did not make this easy for me, Cam.
You're very welcome.
I am going to go ahead and take Troy Franklin.
It's a good thing you did it this pick, Mason, because if you didn't, I was about to pick him for my flex. So, smart on you.
Go ahead and knock him out.
We're taking him now. Oh, boy. Need a tight end and a flex. At tight end, who do I want to go with tight end, Mason? Mm. you know what? I'm just going to go with it. I'm going Jaheim Bell.
Wow.
Florida State.
Cam. Wow. You never fail to surprise me. I'll give you that. You always keep me on my toes.
I'm keeping you on your toes. Let's go.
All right. So now I need a running back and a flex. You actually just made this very easy for me. I'm going to go with Blake Corum. Screw Iowa and their stupid defense and offense.
Oh, boy. Now we're both down to flexes, Mason. Should get real interesting to see if I steal who you want.
You will not. Promise you that.
Is it because it's on one of the teams I've already picked?
Yeah.
Let's go with... getting tough here, Mason, trying to make my last pick. Of course, if I lose to you in this thing, I'll probably never hear the end of it. And then I'll just be like, you know what? I beat you during the season, so who cares about this one-off, okay?
This is the only one that matters. This is championship week, Cam.
This is the only one that matters.
I care about rings over here.
Okay. You know, there is this player that carried you to a win.
Oh, don't do this to my heart.
And it's very tempting, Mason. It's very tempting. Maybe I'll keep a thought on that real quick.
My heart can't handle playing against him, Cam.
Oh man, none of us have picked any players from the Oklahoma State Texas game. And it's very tempting. There are two players that are very tempting in this game. But you know what? I think... I'm going to go ahead and do it, Mason. I'm going to go with Ollie Gordon II from Oklahoma State. Why not?
Cam, this was going so great for me. I wasn't even going to pick him, but you just broke my heart with that. Well, with my last pick, I'm just going to make it easy, and I'm going to take old Keon Coleman off the board. Yes, his quarterback might suck, but he does not.
Taking a risk there, Mason. That could be your zero. That could be your goose egg on your team.
Look, got to do it. It's championship week.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to picks now, Mason. And your hopes and dreams are basically over. You lost in the regular season. You finished. You were going on strong. And then rivalry week came. And it hit you hard. You went 1-6-1 in rivalry week, which brings you down to 58-56-5 on the season. Your boy went 5-2-1. So now I'm 64-50-5. So I got a 14 games up above 500, Mason. It's nice. It's nice being up here. We're just picking the Power 5 Conference Championship games this week. That's all we're caring about. I don't care about who Tulane is playing, and I don't care about these other G5 schools. No one cares. We're just focused on the P5. So we're going to do it in chronological order. Game is on Friday, Mason, on ABC, no less. Oregon against Washington for the Pac-12 Championship and what also seems like the berth for the college football playoff. Oregon is a 9.5-point favorite in this one after Washington won the regular season matchup. What do you think on Oregon and Washington?
I'm super excited for this game. I think it's going to be one of the better ones of the weekend for sure. Obviously, Washington won the matchup before that. It was at Washington, so that probably gave them a little bit of a bump. To me, 9.5 is a really big number for a team like Washington because they do have a really good offense. So I think Oregon's going to win this game, but I am going to take Washington in this just to cover. 9.5, just a little bit too big for my, or a little too rich for my blood.
Yeah, that's a big point spread in this conference championship game. I'm not only taking Washington to cover, Washington is going to outright win this thing.
Oh, okay.
And we're kicking Oregon completely out of even the discussion of getting in the playoffs. So the whole discussion we just had, throw it away because Washington is winning for like the third or fourth straight time in a row against Oregon. So give me the Huskies to cover the 9.5 and to win. All right, that's my upset, one of my upsets of the week. So let's go ahead and move on to the Big 12 championship game. This is happening at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Oklahoma State with a big comeback win against BYU. They were down like 24-3 at halftime and ended up winning. And I think it was overtime they had actually won. So crazy way to come back. Are they out of gas? We'll find out. Texas is a 14.5 point favorite in this one. Do you like the Longhorns to cover the 14.5? Does Oklahoma State even have a chance in this one? What do you think?
So normally when it's 14.5, I go under for sure. But I actually really, really like Texas in this game. I think they just got a little bit too much firepower for Oklahoma State to handle. And also Texas does have a very good defensive line. And like you were saying earlier, Oklahoma State's strength right now is Ollie Gordon in their running game. So I think Texas is going to be able to slow him down a little bit in that. So I am going to be rocking with Texas in this one.
Did you just read my mind? I'm going Texas as well to cover. And the reason I'm doing it is just because of how hard Oklahoma State had to fight to even get in this game, with how much energy they had to put out to come back and beat BYU in the second half of their game last week. So I'm going to go with Texas to cover and go on and, hey, maybe make the playoff. We'll see. And then it's the SEC championship game, Mason. In Atlanta, 3:00, Georgia, Alabama, and Georgia's a 6-point favorite. I know you're picking Alabama, so give me the reason why you think Alabama is going to cover and win, because I know you're also picking them to win.
Of course. Why wouldn't I? But look, honestly, like, this is basically going to be a fight of two Goliaths. The Georgia-Bama game is always super fun to watch just because, like, they're both two massive programs, and when they go head-to-head against each other, it's always fireworks for some reason. I feel like from watching Georgia all season, like, they have been pretty much dominating every team, but they have had their struggles against some of the running quarterbacks. I feel like Alabama's going to be able to game plan around Milroe very well. And because of Georgia's struggles on the ground against running quarterbacks, like, I think we're going to be able to have a lot of success with that. Yes, we struggled last week against Auburn in the run game, but guess what? So did Georgia. So I think both teams are going to be able to kind of compact each other and break down strengths and weaknesses of the game for each team. But man, it's just like, this Alabama team is playing so well right now. Like, I'm having a hard time finding a way that Georgia is going to be able to beat them other than just straight up bullying Alabama, which very rarely happens. Hopefully we don't lose our two best wide receivers in this game, because that has been the only way that Georgia has been able to beat us. So if that doesn't happen, I think we're good.
Throwing in some shade over there. I see you. Okay. I'm picking Georgia. They're going to cover. I just think they're better than Alabama this year. I think their defense will do what they always do. They give up the first possession score and then crack down the rest of the way. I think they'll be able to stop the running game for Bama to not give Milroe the opportunity to really do play action. And I think they'll be able to get after the quarterback. And I think their offense is actually really good, surprisingly good, and you never know what's coming. And so they're going to be able to keep that Bama defense off balance. So I like Georgia to win and to cover the 6. And they're going to make it to the playoff and hopefully not win. So let's go ahead and move on to Michigan against Iowa. I know you're going to watch this one, Mason. I know you're going to watch your Hawkeyes and hope to God they beat Michigan. Michigan's a 23-point favorite, Mason. That's a lot in a conference championship game in a Power Five. Can Mission cover the 23, or can Iowa's defense keep it within that? Because it won't be their offense.
Iowa sucks. Give me Michigan.
Iowa
this
does
game
suck.
Is gonna be, I'm going to go ahead and guess that this game is probably going to be about 28-0. So, yes, they're going to cover the 23 because Iowa will score exactly 0 points.
Yeah, I like Iowa's defense, so I'm going with Iowa strictly to keep it within 23. That's the only reason. Just because of the defense. It has nothing to do with their offense. It has everything to do with their defense. So we'll see. And then the last game of the night, 7 o'clock on ESPN and ABC, I believe. Louisville at Florida State. And I think this has the potential to be the best game of the weekend. Florida State is a 2.5-point favorite against Louisville. What do you think about this one, Mason?
So Louisville lost last week. I definitely think that that game against Kentucky was a trap game for them. That the performance that they put on was just very uninspiring when they're playing against Kentucky. So I just kind of felt like they were sleepwalking through it. But the other thing I'll say about Louisville right now is they weirdly haven't been playing very well on the road. A lot of their better games have come at home. But on the other side, you have Florida State. They didn't look great for the first half, or probably honestly first 2.5, maybe 3 quarters against Florida. But then they came out and they were actually able to put their foot on the gas and get the win in the Swamp, which is fairly impressive. It's going to be a tough game to me. I think I'm going to rock with Florida State. I think they
have. Wow. Look at you picking Florida State after being a hater all year long. You're picking Florida State to win the ACC, Mason. Man, yeah. What a turnaround.
I'm going for a reverse jinx, okay?
Man. Yeah, Florida State's a great pick, and that's who I picked preseason to win the conference. Obviously, losing Jordan Travis is a big deal. They didn't look great at Florida, and the Florida defense isn't even a good defense. They're like the only team behind them when it comes to points given up in the year in the SEC is Vanderbilt. So it's bad, and you didn't score a lot of points. On the other hand, like you said, Louisville did just lose to a bad Kentucky team at home, no less. So don't feel great about that. Florida State is my darling that I have picked all year to win the ACC. But Mason, doesn't matter. Because I'm going with Louisville to upset Florida State and win the ACC this year. And here's
what world are we in?
And here's why, Mason. Their defense is one of the top red zone defenses in the country. They get after the quarterback and they stop the run, which is what Florida State has to do to win the game. They have to run the football. Louisville is a top 15 defense against the run. Don't know if you knew that or not. I just think the matchup for Florida State with Rodemaker is just nightmare scenario. So I actually really like Louisville to win and upset Florida State and for Florida State's dreams to come down. And that opens up Texas to make it to the playoff, Mason, just like I predicted.
Yeah, you're going to need a little bit of help with that. All right, so let's look at it real quick. So preseason, we both picked Oregon, right, to win the Pac-12?
Yep.
We both picked Texas to win the Big 12.
Yep.
We both picked Michigan to win the Big Ten.
Yep.
Then you picked Florida State for ACC. I picked Clemson. So obviously, you saw a shot at that. And then SEC, I'm pretty sure I picked Bama and you picked LSU, right?
I did. I didn't get a single team right in my SEC championship game. I got both teams wrong. So
I like our odds, though. There's a chance we both go 4-1.
There's always a chance, Mason. all right. Well, that's it for us. Enjoy conference championship weekend. And then enjoy the madness that might happen on Sunday when it comes to the playoff, who makes it in. So we will catch you guys next week when we react and probably talk high. See you later.